Hi, I'm Donna Patton, and we are here with Jesus Centric Podcast and Pastor Josh.
Yeah, so we're really excited to talk about this today. Today we're talking about God's mission. And I think God's mission is really pretty simple. And this is what we want you to understand, that the church has a mission because Jesus has a mission. And you have a mission because Jesus has a mission. And that's really critical for us, I think, to understand.
Okay, you say you have a mission. Are we going to hear like the Denzel Washington voice go, "This is your mission"? How do we know what our mission is?
Yeah, and so I think whenever we think about mission, it's really easy for us to go internally, that like, what do I think or what do I feel? But for us as Christians, where we always want to go is we want to go to the Bible. And so when we say Jesus-centric leadership, that's our podcast, we're not talking about what I think or feel or even what some research reveals, although we may talk about some research, but we're talking about what does God say? What does God say? And that always comes down to what his word says. And so I believe in Luke 19:10, Jesus kind of outlined really simply what his mission was. So he says this: the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now, it's interesting, in the midst of that, he told a few parables. He told the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the hidden treasure, the pearl, all these lost things that someone found. But it's interesting, when there's lost things, who finds them? Well, Jesus finds them. And so the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And when he means lost, he means people that don't know the love of Jesus, the forgiveness that Jesus Christ won on the cross. And so that's Jesus's mission, to seek and save the lost, which, let's just pause, is a really good thing for us. Because right. I need that saving, right?
Right. Right.
You know that better than most.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been lost, and being lost is a scary thing. I mean, when we did the mission trip to Florida, we got lost a few times.
You didn't tell me that.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to admit
it. You keep that out, didn't you?
I did. But being lost is scary. And add on top of that, when Jesus kind of equates us to a lost sheep, sheep are not the most brilliant thing.
They're not.
Are they?
No. No, they're not. And sheep have some wisdom. They actually say that they're fairly intelligent. They just do really dumb things. Like, they'll get stuck in a fence and they won't be able to go backwards because they only want to go forwards. It's better sometimes to say that they're not stupid, they're just stubborn, which is actually a lot like us, right?
Yeah, I have a stubborn side once in a while, but we're not going to get into that today.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think, like, when we talk about being lost, it's important to understand who finds us and whose mission it is to find us. It's important to understand that really Christ, even Christmas, right? We just got done with Christmas at this point of where we're recording. We just got done with Christmas. And so the reality is Jesus coming down from heaven to earth is very missional. Why? He's going somewhere to do something. He's on a mission. And what is his mission? To seek and save the lost. And so Jesus left heaven to be here on earth to seek and save the lost, to save us. And we as Christians are very thankful for that, right? But this is where the transition comes. The church has a mission because Jesus has a mission. And what is our mission? To show up on Sunday in our Sunday best and sing some songs and say some prayers and then go home? Is that our mission? No. Now, again, I'm a huge proponent of the church. I love what we do. I love singing songs. I love saying prayers. I think those are big discipleship things. They form us. But that's not the end all be all of the mission of the church. The church exists to seek and save the lost.
Right. I know I lost Josh one time, in my son Joshua, in a Walmart. He didn't feel like he was lost until he realized I wasn't around him. And the look on his face when I found him, he was hiding in the center of some clothing, right, on the racks. But the relief. And sometimes I think we get consumed with our call to save the lost, right? To reach out to the lost. And we forget that's a relief for people who are lost sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And the times we've been lost.
Yeah, if you've ever known a Christian that wasn't a born a Christian, their affinity, their love for being found is so incredibly significant in their lives. And that's sometimes what makes them such a good missionary, because they knew what it was like to not be found, and now they are in Jesus. And so I think that's really valuable.
Yeah, one of our teachers, Connie, she used to work in our early learning center, and we had some parents that really connected with her, because Connie just has this way of speaking truth and love and God's grace into families. And sometimes God used her as that front door. Yeah. And they felt relieved to have somebody they could connect with that extended them so much love and grace.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we could tell story after story of people that have seen this as their mission and what they get to do. But the thing I really want to highlight here is that it's not just some people that are called to do this. It's all of us. It's all of us. And so I think, like, sometimes spiritual gifts are very helpful. We'll talk about them at some point on the podcast. But the reality is spiritual gifts, there's one that's the evangelist. That's one of the spiritual gifts. It's actually the lowest spiritual gift when people test that they have. And I think the problem with that is I think that the only person that can engage in the mission of God, if the mission of God is to seek and save the lost, that sounds like an evangelist, right? Well, not all of us are natural spiritual gift evangelists. And so the reality is yes, evangelists are very important. They're usually the people that will reach maybe hundreds in their lifetime. And that's great whenever somebody can do that. And Connie might have that gift. Like, we should probably test her. But, like, not everybody has that gift. And so what is your unique way to engage in the mission that God has? And that's what we want to help you as leaders discover and find out.
Yeah, my paradigm of evangelist was always Billy Graham. I grew up in the Billy Graham generation, where he would have the big revivals, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I heard this concept when I was young in ministry, I remember thinking, but I'm no Billy Graham. How does the person who's hearing this, and they go, oh, wait, this is a hard ask. This is a hard one for me, because I don't feel qualified.
Yeah.
I'm called, but I don't feel qualified.
Yeah, and maybe it's good here to go the word leadership, right? I think in the simplest sense, and you know, I'm not a linguist, I'm not the smartest person, but in my mind, leadership is simply helping someone move towards something, right? And so if I'm like a leader that takes people on rafting trips, what do? Well, I help people down the rapids, right? I'm leading them towards something, the finish line, right? I'm leading them on the adventure. If I'm a leader in a business, that doesn't mean that I just tell them what to do. That's a boss, but a leader kind of leads them to be the best they can be. A coach on a football field, right? Like, we want a good coach for the Broncos, right? Like, maybe Sean Payton is, maybe he isn't, but we want a good leader because he's going to lead them towards something. And so I think when we begin to think of ourselves as Christians, as leaders, whether or not you think you have the gift of leadership, it doesn't matter. What are you doing? You're leading something toward somebody, towards something, right? And I think that's helpful when we begin to think about sharing our faith. I'm not just sharing it because pastor said so. I'm helping someone know something more. And it's something that I know. So if I know that Jesus loves me, I can lead you toward that. I can help you to understand that a little better.
Okay, but I'm going to push you just a little bit more on this. Because I still think somebody might be listening and go, but I'm new in this walk. I'm new at seeing myself as a leader. I'm new. And what if they ask me something I don't know? I don't know, you know, some of the things about the Bible, maybe, or, you know, you're going to ask me something really personal about my faith. And what if I show that there's a crack in it? What do you say to that person?
Yeah, so I think none of us can ever answer all the questions. So, like, I have a theological degree, which maybe means something, maybe means nothing. I don't know. But, like, I can't answer all the questions. Like, nobody can. In fact, if you answer all the questions, you have to go outside what the Bible teaches in order to do it. So it's impossible to answer all the questions. So let's just get that off the table right away. But what you're trying to do for someone, you're not trying to answer all their questions. You're trying to say, it's almost you saying, hey, I have questions too, But that doesn't change the fact that I believe. I believe because God has given me faith. I pray the same thing for you, that God gives you faith to believe something that doesn't make sense. The Bible says that the faith is foolishness to those who are perishing. The only reason faith isn't foolishness to me isn't because I have the knowledge. It's not foolishness to me because God has given me the faith to believe it. And so I think we have to understand that what we're sharing, what we're leading someone in, is not the development of their knowledge. I believe knowledge is key. I believe you knowing more about the Bible is key, but that's not where faith starts. Faith starts with God, the Holy Spirit, working in you for you to believe something.
Yeah, I have a family member who is agnostic, and we have sometimes, when the moment's right, conversations around faith, and sometimes they'll ask me a question that I don't know. And I almost see when I say, I don't know, but I'm going to look into that because that's a super great question.
Yeah.
Almost relief on their face that I'm not trying to fake it or act like I do have all the answers. And it gives me an open door to conversation again, because now I've looked into it and I've prayed about it and I'm reapproaching it.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. And it's not bad to say, hey, I've got to go look that up, or I'm going to ask somebody about it, and then come back to it. Because what we want is we want that ongoing dialogue. I think that's the other thing about leadership that's key. A lot of times we wish and we want leadership or witnessing to be kind of a one and done. I do it, they believe, then I schedule the baptism with pastor.
Yes.
But leadership doesn't work that way. Like, your boss doesn't come into your office one time and say, hey, you've got to grow in your, let's say, personal hygiene, right? He doesn't say that one time and then it's all done after that. He's probably going to have to check back up on you, right? That would be my guess. And so the same thing is true when we talk about leading someone toward Jesus, leading someone in faith.
Well, and that goes back to, I think there was a day where we used to think I had to know the seven key verses, take you from Old Testament to New and back to Old, and answer all your questions. But this goes back to relationship, which is a very Jesus-centric model of evangelism.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I feel like when a salesman comes at you and you know they're reading off the script, it's very jarring. And you're like, done, right? You're done because they're reading off the script. You can tell they're reading off the script. I think when we take a script into our evangelism, we fail big time because people are going to be able to tell. They're going to wonder who taught them this and where is the script going? And maybe they even heard a similar script because we as Christians aren't that inventive. So the scripts are kind of similar that we use for evangelism. So yeah, you don't have to use a script. Just share your life and a relationship with them.
Yeah, and I think what you're alluding to is the reason that we hear this term deconstructing faith. There's so many people deconstructing faith because I wonder if they didn't have somebody go, yeah, I have that question too. But hold on, don't walk away. Don't walk away from everything you've always known. Let's work through this in a relationship. Let's continue this conversation. Let's look at this messiness of the questions that you're asking.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with that. I think there's always going to be some, on this side of heaven, there's always going to be some messiness in Christianity. There's always going to be some things that we can't answer, some things that we can't explain. And I think sometimes in a discipleship, in leading someone in the faith, it was easy to be too formulaic. And I think what Jesus calls us into is really to live life with other Christians, to be on this mission with him. And that's a little messy and a little confusing. And we get to wrestle with people and wrestle with ideas when we do that. But it's, I think it is this really beautiful thing that God has called us into, a mission that's lived alongside of other people.
Right. Because he put messiness in scripture, right? Like the Israelites, messy. Disciples, messy.
Yeah.
Paul, messy.
Yeah.
Donna Patton, messy.
Yeah. 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 And I think we're always going to be messy. And I'm glad you brought up Paul, because I think that's the other thing that's helpful here, is just to remember that the mission of God is sometimes best lived out when you have other vocations.
Yeah.
My dad talks about this most. My father's a pastor, my father-in-law too, but my father's a pastor. And so what he's doing now is he's going to trade shows. So he's a company where he designs and manufactures small ornaments. He goes to these trade shows. And he says he's way more of a missionary now than he ever was as a pastor. Because as a pastor, he was in the church. He was equipping the congregation. He was preaching the sermons. He was doing the funerals and baptisms and weddings and all those things, which are great and needed. But he wasn't able to be a missionary until he is living out there now at those trade shows. And so he has a guy next to him that's a Muslim or somebody who's a Wiccan or whatever it is, and he's having these conversations and having meals with these people because they're all away from their families and all this stuff, but he's able to be a missionary because he's out there in the world. And so Paul did that. Apostle Paul did the same thing. He was a tent maker. He was the greatest evangelism, probably better than Billy Graham. Paul, hands down, better than Billy Graham. But what? He was a tent maker. We miss that. He had a full-time job, and then he was a missionary. And so sometimes the best place to be a missionary is in your vocation, in what God has already called you to do.
A tent maker who hated Christians.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, we can start. We can even back up to that. Yeah, he didn't want to be a Christian, but somebody, what? Jesus led him to, and then he led other people. Absolutely.
Okay, so what you're saying is that we need to do a whole another podcast on Paul, and we could just keep going and going.
We probably could.
But for today, we want to kind of wrap up this concept of that we have a mission. So what do you want our listeners to really take away today, Pastor?
Yeah, so if one thing that you can understand is we don't have a mission because the church has a mission. We have a mission because Jesus has a mission. That's who's given the church. And let's remember, the church are his people, not a building. But the church has a mission because Jesus has a mission. And so you have a mission. You have a mission to share your faith in Jesus. And thanks for doing that.
Yeah. And thank you, Pastor Josh, for sharing today and leading us through this discussion. And we want to thank you for listening. And we look forward to our next episode of Jesus-Centric Podcast. Have a great day.